Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum today. If you have a comment you want to make about something in the news, a question you want to pose to the rest of the listeners, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post your question or comment there. You can also tweet me at AnnFisherWOSU. So why don't we just kick it off with this? Last week, talk show host Rush Limbaugh ignited a political firestorm in reaction to his derogatory comments about a Georgetown University law student who testified before congressional Democrats about guaranteed insurance coverage for contraception.
What does it say about the college co-ed Susan Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? Makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
Okay, I've got a couple issues. First of all, he got the lawsuit's first name wrong, and it's not Susan, it's Sandra. Also, I don't know if slut and prostitute are the same thing, so that might be something to talk about as well. Soon after, President Obama called Sandra Fluke to offer his support and commend her willingness to speak out. Now, seven advertisers have pulled their ads from Limbaugh's program, and Rush Limbaugh has issued an apology. The Rush Limbaugh story dominated news coverage over the weekend. Is it over with the apology? And what did you think about the response of the GOP candidates to the controversy? Ohio Republican Speaker of the House John Boehner thought that his remarks were inappropriate. What did you think? Is it much ado about nothing? It certainly makes for great radio, doesn't it? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Ohio Governor John Kasich has turned down federal disaster aid. It looks like Claremont County was hit very hard. Moscow, Ohio, in particular, about 25% of the homes in that city of about 100 homes, I think, were wiped out. But the governor said that Ohio can respond to the crisis without federal help, and he would not ask federal authorities to declare the region a disaster area. That means that the aid that might be available to people for temporary housing and that sort of thing would not be available to people in Ohio who were hit by that tornado last week. They said there's no benefit to allowing teams from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to do an immediate assessment. FEMA teams typically arrive soon after states ask for help and begin evaluating whether the states meet the threshold for a disaster relief declaration, which qualifies them for aid. And so it hasn't even gotten to that point. Give us a call. Tell us what you think. Do you think Ohio should at least shoot for it when something like that hits a town or not? I'm not sure where he's getting the money from, what kind of relief the state can offer these folks, but I'm not sure that there is such aid available in by law, but maybe there is. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I can read the statement from Rush Limbaugh. He says, for over 20 years, I have illustrated the absurd with absurdity, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. In this instance, I chose the wrong words in my analogy of the situation. I did not mean a personal attack on Ms. Fluke. I think it is absolutely absurd that during these very serious political times, we are discussing personal, sexual, recreational activities before members of Congress. I personally do not agree that American citizens should pay for these social activities. What happened to personal responsibility and accountability? Where do we draw the line? If this is accepted as the norm, what will follow? Will we be debating if taxpayers should pay for new sneakers for all students that are interested in running to keep fit? In my monologue, I posited that it is not our business whatsoever to know what is going on in anyone's bedroom, nor do I think it is a topic that should reach a presidential level. My choice of words was not the best, and in the attempt to be humorous, I created a national stir. I sincerely apologize to Ms. Fluke for the insulting word choices. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 614-292-8513. If you were insulted by the Rush Limbaugh comments about Sandra Fluke, are you mollified by his statement, his apology of sorts to her for the insulting word choices. Tell me what you think. You can also go and email us at allsides@wosu.org. David in San Francisco?
Yes, morning, Ann.
Morning, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, First of all, I'm never mollified by Rush Limbaugh. I see him as a saboteur. And in this case, specifically, his purpose is to sabotage good quality health care from Americans. In other words, she was testifying in Congress because she was testifying about health care being denied in its broad entirety. He, on the other hand, is trying to divert attention from that, and he's trying to essentially pit men against women so that nobody gets good quality health care. And when you look at the HMOs and vast health care corporations that have been looting America and looting the baby boom for the last 30 years and denying us health care and denying us they're essentially taking this position that Pennywise Pennywise and pound foolish is the way that they've been running the healthcare system. She was testifying about essentially low-cost diagnostics, so to speak, is an early preventative of cancer. Basically, the HMOs have been denying us checkups for years. And a checkup, if you give somebody a free checkup, you're gonna save vast amounts of thousands of dollars in the future by avoiding emergency room costs later on. And so Rush Limbaugh is essentially trying to divert attention away from that by, you know, calling her invectives. And so I would, again, Rush Limbaugh is a saboteur, but in many ways he's a mass murderer. And his apology is so demeaning. He's always trying to claim that he's excellence in broadcasting when in fact he's nothing but a saboteur.
You know, he mentions that he certainly didn't think that that topic should reach a presidential level.
Well,
what did
Penny
you think
Wise
about the fact
pound,
that, you know, the president got involved?
Pennywise and pound foolish is the basic theme that I'd lean on. And the fact that a woman gets slandered on, you know, if you look at Rush Limbaugh's habits for the last amount of years, and then you discover that he was addicted to this drug, Oxycontin, You go to the physician's desk reference. Every doctor, you know, tries to make sure they're not poisoning their patients by reading the physician's desk reference. Mm-hmm. So you look up Oxycontin in there, and you'll discover that Rush Limbaugh has been suffering hallucinations and psychosis for as long as he's been addicted. Now, 600 radio stations around the country have knowingly put a guy who is addicted to painkillers with psychosis and hallucinations on the air, and America has been subject to his blather for years. And the idea that they continue to do it willfully is, to me, one of the highest crimes of – it's such an abuse of freedom of speech because they've locked out – You were talking about it's good radio. It's actually bad radio because If you had local radio stations, then you'd have thousands and tens of thousands of opinions. In this case, we're locked into a guy who's having hallucinations and delusions of grandeur, and people are profiteering from his slander. And then it's declared as if it's good economics, and it's bad economics.
Well, it's bad economics. He's lost, let's see. How many, I think, Citrix, let's see, Sleep Train and Sleep Number software maker, Citrix Systems, Quicken Loans, online data backup service provider, Carbonite, and online legal document services company, LegalZoom. They've all dropped off.
Right. So, well, you look at someone like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck, if I remember right, Van Jones was working with an organization that was getting Glenn Beck to lose advertisers. That's why Rush Limbaugh and those neocons went against Van Jones. Glenn Beck lost something like 75 advertisers, and the biggest one is the soap manufacturer Procter & Gamble. Mm-hmm. And if you're an advertiser, Procter & Gamble is the creme de la creme.
Right.
You know, and so to lose Procter & Gamble, and Procter & Gamble jumped probably in number 15. They continued to spiral higher and higher and higher and getting up to 75 or so by the time he lost his show on television. And yet these advertisers you know, the TV networks and the radio networks continue to run this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it becomes more apparent that they're interested in sabotage. They're interested in making – when you look at health care, again, being the major topic, why she was showing up in Congress, she was there to protect America's health. And so for these neocons to allow a guy like this to pit women against men, 50-50 battle in America, a new civil war about whether or not men are going to protect the rights of women or women are going to look out for the health care needs of men, that's not discussed at all. It's being discussed as whether or not, you know, his nasty invective is a freedom of speech issue. And it's and so he's there to divert attention away from the mass murder that's going on by these HMOs who are pitting against us against each other in a race to essentially, when you look at the eviction rate that comes from health care, HMOs are making sure that people get sicker, die quicker, and then lose their homes to pay off expensive medical bills if they as because they didn't provide them checkups early in their lives.
Okay.
And so it's it to me, that's why they continue to have him on. They're interested in looting America, and they're not interested in having wise health care.
Okay. David,
thank you.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 614-292-8513. Let's squeeze one more in before we have to take a quick break. Mickey in Hubert Heights, you're in the on the air. Welcome to the show, Mickey.
Yeah, hi. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
Not going to be as long-winded or elegant as the last caller, but I think he Limbaugh crossed the line, and I hope this young gal sues him for everything he's worth for slander.
Well, I don't know what her standing is.
She's not a public person, you know.
But she did make herself public by testifying, no?
She testified, but that doesn't make her a public person. But he called her names, which have legal definitions, and she's not that. If she's not that,
mm-hmm.
she has a right to sue him for disparaging her character. I mean,
okay.
Either that or the men folks in her family go and see Rush Limbaugh for the man's place.
Well,
I mean, that's the way he used to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'd be interested to know what sort of a civil right she has in this case. So thanks for bringing that up. Maybe someone can give us a call and enlighten us.
But,
all right, Mickey, thanks a lot.
Take
thanks
care.
For listening. You're listening. Thanks. Bye-bye. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll be right back.
In this Republican primary season, the issue of consistency has come up more than once.
You have admitted many of the positions where you have changed positions.
That, to me, is not a consistent principled position.
I'm John Donvan. With politicians, does consistency matter in whom you choose? Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. 31 degrees with cloudy skies. There is a slight chance of some light snow this morning. Gradually some sunshine and a high right around 35 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 24. Sunshine and a high of 53 for Tuesday.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Jazz Orchestra, saluting the musical legacy of the world-famous Cotton Club, featuring dancer Ted Lewis Levy and Broadway singer Brenda Braxton March 14th through the 18th at the Southern Theater. Details at jazzartsgroup.org.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's an open forum this hour. We've been talking about the issues, the controversy regarding the statements that Rush Limbaugh made last week about a Georgetown University law student who had testified before congressional Democrats on the value of including coverage for contraceptives in the national health care plan. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I'm also interested in talking about Ohio Governor John Kasich turning down federal disaster aid. If you have a comment or question about that, give us a call. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Don't forget Facebook if that's more convenient for you. Victor in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Victor. You got to turn down your radio.
Yes. So I wanted to address this Rush Limbaugh situation.
Sure.
You know, I think what the man said was really quite awful, but I don't know why people are surprised. The man has made a living out of being awful on radio and saying these nasty, horrible things about everyone he can really say them about. And in that sense, I don't think his apology is sincere.
Well, even he says maybe he went too far this time, though.
That's true. But what I think is really the worst of this situation is that it's detracting from the original question, whether coverage of contraception should be part of a mandatory part of insurance programs. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a important and an interesting and a valid thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible that it gets lost. And, you know, this man who gets paid to be a pompous blowhard. And I personally think it's rather silly that somebody goes out and says, I should have this get comped in my insurance company or by my insurance company. I think contraception is, you know, this is not something that is key to a person's health. I mean,
well, sometimes it is used for healthcare purposes.
That's true. And in that case, I think it is fully valid because in that case, it becomes a question of one maintenance of one's health rather than prevention of pregnancy as such.
Well, if they don't cover abortions and somebody doesn't want to have a child, what about just the penny-wise, pound-foolish argument that was put forth earlier that spending a little bit every month on contraceptives could save us a lot of expense as a society down the road?
I would respond, I guess, with the very, very, very old-fashioned conservative argument that individuals have to bear responsibility for this. And I don't think this has to in any way get into a discussion of whether a person enjoys sex or has lots mm-hmm. of it. And as a former Georgetown student, I have to say, I managed to walk to Wisconsin Avenue to pick up my condoms. It's okay. I paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
I really find it incomprehensible that somebody will say, well, I wish to engage in sexual activity. That's a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. God bless. But then to say, I would like to have certain expenses associated with engaging in that sexual activity borne by somebody else.
Okay.
That, to me, is completely wrong. And I think that we as a society should discuss these sorts of things.
Right.
Do we believe that this is a personal matter and we should bear personal responsibility, as do I? Or, as you just pointed out, is this an issue of public health and the expenses of public health, and should we as a society then fork over a certain amount of money to address these issues of public health?
Okay.
But you see, it's that needs to be discussed,
right,
not whether a horrible man gets on the radio and calls a woman he's never met a slut and a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
That's really quite abominable.
Okay.
And I think the fact that this happens makes it impossible for us to actually discuss the underlying issue, which I think we can and we should.
Okay. Victor, thanks for your call. Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Do you agree with Victor? Give us a call, or you can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. Brian in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hi, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'd like to take the obvious sort of human aspect out of the side and bring up just a quick point. I mean, as a conservative, I consider myself more on the almost libertarian side of the coin, and
mm-hmm.
I just want to say, you know, from a states' rights, from an obvious conservative point of view, if we take the human aspect out of it, you've got a storm that's crossed several states.
Okay, I just want to let listeners know you want to talk about the federal aid
yeah,
for
yeah,
disaster.
Federal aid.
Yeah,
absolutely. And
okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But, you've got to storm across several states and wreak havoc, you know, on life and property. And here you have an opportunity for the federal government to do the one thing that it should be capable of doing in an easy fashion, come in and help something for the states that has nothing to do with one state or another having causing the problem. And you've got a governor that wants to turn it down. I mean, this should be something, and because it's a political season, he's not going to stand up and say, hey, look, here's something that the federal government can do capably for us. He's going to turn it down and stand up for what he considers to be states' rights.
So you think it is a political ploy?
My question is, what's the political upside?
Mm-hmm.
Who gains from him turning down federal aid for people who have been displaced or harmed by storms? And, you know, mm-hmm. it just makes me nutty. And I'm sorry that I wasn't clear in the first place.
No, that's okay.
Answering my question, but
The way you started it out could have cut both ways. So
right.
Maybe he's changed his mind. That's the question, and it's not super clear. A Kasich spokesman and a state emergency management official said the state will do its own assessment before determining whether to seek federal aid. Now,
why
not just let the feds go ahead and do their job and see? And if they don't, you could always turn it down then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, Brian, thanks for calling.
You bet.
Take care.
Thank you.
614-292-8513. Or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And David in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, and thanks.
Yeah.
I want to talk about words and loaded words, like that previous quote from Rush Limbaugh struck me that there is no male equivalent of the word slut. There is a male prostitute female, but there's no male equivalent. So that seems like that's a loaded word. And I've been picking up a lot of these kind of things. Like when we talk about health care, what we're really talking about is insurance. We're talking mm-hmm. about the concept of paying money to some people who have nothing to do with healthcare. They sit in desks, they wear suits, you know. But about 30% of the American costs that we call healthcare actually go to insurance people. And insurance is a great, great example of loaded words. When you give money to an insurance company, it's called a premium. What a great word, premium, premium stake. When you want money from an insurance company, that's called a claim. That's like a Dickens word out of, you know, some poor street kid in London claiming something.
Mm-hmm.
When Mitt Romney is described, he's often said to be successful. But he's not a fast runner or a good artist or he can't fix a broken sink or anything. He's not successful in any of those things. He's rich. The proper word is rich. Successful means something else. He's successful at making money, but that's rich. Weight's good. Let's lose some weight. You don't really want to lose weight. You want to lose fat. That's the problem. I had a guy who was 160 in high school. He was 160 when he was 40 years old, and he had a belly at 40. He didn't have a belly at 20. What happened? He lost muscle and gained fat, but he's the same weight. So I think what happens is we tend to use these words and they kind of deflect this off of the real, like the previous caller's argument about health care. You know, really what's happening is we're spending a lot of money on paperwork. And if we put that money to health care, we'd be fine. It's just that we're wasting some of it, you know. And I think the media could have maybe some, I don't know, it's kind of a uphill battle, but...
Well, no, I mean, clearly there's been lots of studies that have shown the increase in healthcare costs since insurance companies started taking over the administration of payments for healthcare. So and I don't know whether that's a correlative or a causative relationship, but it's an interesting idea. And David, thanks.
Okay.
Take care.
Sure.
Bye-bye. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. It looks like most people want to talk about the Rush Limbaugh issue, the issue of birth control. You know, as a couple of the callers have suggested, maybe there's a deeper issue here. This is distracting us from that issue. What do you think? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Hi, Dorothy. You're in Northeast Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Dorothy.
I just have one little statement to make.
Okay.
We all know that birth control is not certain.
It's never 100%. Yeah, right.
And so I just wondered, you know, if they pick up AIDS or STDs and whatnot, can they come back and sue the government or the insurance company or whatever?
Saying that I wouldn't have had sex if I hadn't had birth control?
Well, if I don't think that it goes that far, but you know, because your birth control didn't work for me, you know, why I'm going to sue you.
Well, birth control isn't intended to protect someone from AIDS or sexually transmitted diseases. It's only intended to, for some people, adjust their cycles. It's for medical purposes, and then for other people, for birth control, contraception. It just to stop, you know, to avoid getting pregnant.
So you don't, they can't come back on other persons.
Well, I was thinking, what I thought you meant was that if you have birth control, then you'll have sex, and if you get a sexually transmitted disease, then you can blame the government. But I don't.
Yeah.
But birth control isn't intended to protect anybody from those things. So it doesn't protect them from those things. Forget about what's intended to do. It simply doesn't.
So. That's right.
Okay. So everybody remember
that. I just wondered that why you know, if they could come through and say, well, you provided my materials and I got this and that, and
right,
I'm going to sue you for it.
Well. Who knows? Someone might try, but that's an interesting question. We'll see if anybody has any kind of follow-up for that. Thanks, Dorothy.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Loretta in Cleveland, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Loretta.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
Ann, I'd like to address the issue of the Catholic Church. And can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic Church really kind of kicked off this issue with contraception. And I'm wondering, what is their take on women paying for male sex aids, such as Cialis, Viagra, Prostivac? Can you find out who in Congress put that bill up where women are paying for male sex aid, and now they don't want to even want to let women have an appeal? It just doesn't seem right. And if they're not going to do one, they shouldn't pay for the other.
Okay.
And that's the way I feel about it.
All right.
Thanks,
Loretta.
Yep. Have a great day.
You too. Mark in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Wait for Mark?
Yep. Hi, Mark.
Yeah. I had an interesting observation that I don't think most people are looking at, from, particularly from the standpoint of the Catholic Church. They say that, or I guess President Obama has made an agreement with certain Catholic groups that you don't have to include contraception as coverage in your group plan, but the insurance company has to cover it if the individual that works in the Catholic hospital orders it. Well, if the premium for that contraception coverage is not taken out of the group and it has to be determined by an actuarial basis, then really the Catholic Church is paying for it and they're financially endorsing it. They may publicly not be saying they endorse it, but the healthcare plan is charging them through the back door to cover that anyways. So if they really want to make sure that this agreement is following religious foundation, where they do not pay for contraception, whether it's male or female, they have to find out from the insurance company what portion of that original premium they were paying is contraception coverage, and that has to be taken out of the premium to the Catholic Church, the hospital, the school, whatever it is. And if it doesn't happen that way, then President Obama's agreement is nothing more than a smokescreen, you know, moving the chess parts across the board to get his objective, and to heck with the Catholic Church.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. We have some emails. We have one from Dominic. He writes, Rush clearly has no idea what is even happening. As I understand it, Sandra Fluke testified on behalf of a friend who needed to take birth control pills for a non-contraceptive use. Her friend needed to take the pill to prevent herself from getting ovarian cysts and could not afford them on her own at about $100 a month. She had to stop taking them since they were not covered and she couldn't afford them. She eventually developed a cyst so bad she had to have an ovary removed. Also, I believe it was stated that this friend of Sandra Fluke is a lesbian, so she obviously had zero need for this medication as a contraceptive. Also, I've read Rush's apology, and it is about 70% defending himself and only 30% apology. To me, it sounds like an empty attempt to retain advertisers. After all, as I understand it, he posted on his own website and did not send Sandra Fluke any type of personal apology. He should be ashamed of himself, but over the course of his career, he has proven to not have any shame whatsoever. And we have an email from Ben. Rush's comments cannot be defended. However, he does have the right to say whatever he wants as long as he isn't breaking any laws. With that said, we as listeners don't have the right not to be offended. The great thing about a business like for-profit radio is that there are consequences for such an action. Advertisers pull out and listeners have the option to turn the station off. Okay. Thanks, Ben. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Robert in Hilliard, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ann.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I was shocked years ago that Rush wasn't fired when he mocked Michael J. Fox with his disease. I think everyone probably saw that.
It's Parkinson's, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was floating around in his chair there and acting like he had Parkinson's. And just because he disagreed with Michael J. Fox politically, you know, I couldn't believe the guy kept his job. I thought this was almost minor compared to that. And nothing seemed to come from that. You know, I don't remember sponsors dropping out then like they did now. Maybe they did, but I just don't remember that. Do you remember seeing that?
I remember it, you know, whenever something – I remember when that happened, but I don't remember what the repercussions were, to tell you the truth. I don't think they were – I can't remember. But my feeling is I don't think he lost advertisers, and that's the name of the game.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. It might be worth checking that out. Maybe someone can look back on that and maybe refresh our memory during break.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Robert, thanks for waiting and thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you, Ann.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, how we form habits and how we can break them. We talk with Charles Duhigg about what neuroscientists call the habit loop, cues, triggers, and rewards.
If you want to quit smoking, you should stop smoking while you're on a vacation.
Duhigg's new book is The Power of Habit. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins later today at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And tomorrow night, beginning at 8 on 89.7 NPR News, the WOSU News team will bring you the latest on the Republican presidential primary in Ohio and the Democratic congressional primary contest right here in Franklin County. It's the Super Tuesday results, Tuesday night at 8 on 89.7 NPR News. 31 degrees with cloudy skies. There is a chance of some light snow off and on throughout the day, gradually becoming mostly sunny, a high of 35 degrees. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low of 24. Sunny skies for Tuesday, a high of 53. Clear skies Tuesday night, a low of 40 degrees. And looking ahead to Wednesday, sunshine and a high of 63. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Hi, you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for listening. We have an open forum this hour. We've been talking about a couple of different things. The Rush Limbaugh controversy, his statements about the Georgetown University law student who was testifying on Capitol Hill in a Democratic congressional hearing. And the comments he made about her. He called her a slut and a prostitute and suggested that if the government would order that birth control be covered in health insurance, that means that we're all paying for somebody to have sex, and that makes her a prostitute, and maybe she can pay everybody back by video recording herself having sex and then airing it so that everybody can watch. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're also talking about the governor's decision to turn down federal disaster aid. It looks like what the feds do is they come in, they assess the situation, then they let you know if you the state qualifies, or the town or whatever was hit by the storm qualifies, and then they decide what kind of aid they're going to give. Well, the governor has said they don't even want them to come in, that we'll do our own assessment. What do you think about that? 614-292-8513. Email from Kelly. I just wanted to say one thing. Why are people saying it's okay for insurance to cover prenatal care and whatever other rewards women get for choosing to breed, but it's not okay to cover birth control? Shouldn't it be if you cover one, you cover both? Shouldn't it be if you think women should just have to take care of that themselves and they should also have to cover their own maternity leave and whatever other nonsense? Isn't this all the same conversation? Everyone getting involved in a woman's preference on whether or not to use her ovaries. That's from Kelly. Thanks, Kelly, for that email. 614-292-8513. I am looking for Anthony. Hi, Anthony in Columbus. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ann. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Listen, I have a question. My question is this. I have a theory, and okay. I think it's pretty good, and I want to know what you think of it.
Okay.
This is my theory. There's a deep-rooted thing going on, and I believe that there's no more racism with black and white. There's a new racism. The new racism is we don't like you if you're poor. And we all know whenever there's racial equality, women always get the worst end of the stick. My thing is I truly believe that's the direction we're going in, and I think that we all have to stick together because there's no more black and white. There's only the haves and have not. And I just don't believe that you should be able to tell a woman what to do with their body.
Well, does that mean that you should or shouldn't offer birth control?
I think that you should offer it because it's a personal choice. I'm a man and I can't have a baby. I never could make a baby. But I'll tell you one thing. If we were talking about Viagra right now, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Okay.
I truly believe that. I just think it's racist because to tell a woman directly what they can or cannot do with their body, I just don't believe that. I mean, if I was a Republican and I was, you know, the right wing, which was supposed to be the Christian wing, you forgive and you understand it's to be Christ-like, and I don't think that's Christ-like to be judgmental.
Okay. All right. Well, Anthony, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
Bye. David in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Previous caller, I think, brought up a pretty salient point in that conversation should really be focusing more on what healthcare covers than what it doesn't. But then his argument also led me to think about where I think he's making a big mistake. And you know, the issue around birth control directly relates to a choice as well as becoming pregnant and having a child. And so the previous caller's theory was, well, we shouldn't cover preventative care because it's a choice. Well, then that same argument would apply to we shouldn't cover pregnancies because that is arguably a choice in maybe many or most of the cases.
Mm-hmm.
But from a health insurer standpoint, what most people don't know, I work in benefit,
mm-hmm.
is pregnancy is classified as an illness.
Right.
It's considered a condition which is treated, and there are huge costs with it. And, you know, the ultimate outcome is having the child.
I had to take sick days.
Right. So it
yeah.
is considered a medical condition. So as health insurers have tried to look at controlling costs, you know, they've reluctantly looked at preventative because if they can not have to pay out a claim, which the previous caller pointed out, which is an interesting term, it's a lot cheaper to cover with contraceptives than it is to have a woman go all the way through pregnancy. I mean, from a pure business standpoint, from a pure dollar standpoint, no ethics involved, it's a heck of a lot more cost-effective to have preventative care than it is to treat, because there's so many things that can happen within pregnancies where the cost can, you know, escalate, you know, from $20,000 to $50,000 to $100,000.
Right.
So that argument of choice, it's a non-starter. And the other thing is the way insurance works is, you know, you're basically paying in the future for things that may happen to you. And in dealing in the benefits department, people always, when they look at what benefits are covered, whatever benefit they don't get, they think is a waste of money. But if they're accessing it, then it's clearly worthwhile. So it's, you know, it's not uncommon for men to say, oh, well, we shouldn't be covered contraceptives because they're not using it.
Yeah. 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 Except maybe their spouse or their girlfriend or their partners are.
Right.
But
and it goes to anything. It's like, well, why do we cover child care? If I'm not using it, it's a waste of money. But that's the way insurance works, is you're putting money in for potential future use. And that's, you know, younger employees look at the cost and say, well, this is ridiculous. Why am I spending all this money paying premiums? Well, it's because in 20 years, you're going to use this.
Well, so why don't insurance companies offer birth control? Why isn't it part of their deal? Because it would save them so much money down the road in terms of pregnancies.
Well, in general, as another caller said, they're insurance companies, and they make their money from treatment. That's where the money comes from. And
okay.
So they don't make money when they're spending money on prevention. So, I mean, even as simple as paying for health or a flu shot, I mean, it totally makes sense that you cover it, but that's a direct cost outlay. So they look at that as purely money going out the door.
Okay.
So paying for contraceptive care is money going out the door.
Okay.
Whereas with pregnancy, they're going to make money on that because they're going to only reimburse the hospital so much and the doctor so much, and they got enough premiums coming in that override that. And, you know, when you take an aggregate of a couple thousand people, you know, they're making, you know, tons of money on that. And that's what allows them to stay in business. I mean, they're for profit.
Right.
And preventative care doesn't generate profit for them. So they reluctantly look at that. Even though that it could save them money, short term, it's money going out each quarter.
Okay. David, thank you so much.
Yep.
Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dennis and Bexley, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Dennis.
Hello. Thank you. My comment is, we have forgotten what polite conversation used to be, and not just what Rush Limbaugh says or how he does it, but I see it in other ways on television, radio, and when we speak to each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things in this polite conversation, certain words were not used, and their contents weren't used. That's the problem.
It's just a disintegration of politeness.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we try to stay polite on public media.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Take care, Dennis. Roy in Circleville, coming your way, Roy. Hi, Roy. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you.
You bet.
I just wanted to talk about three different things.
Well,
the first one is,
you know what? I got a lot of people waiting, so pick your favorite thing.
Well, the thing about, I think Rush Limbaugh should be banned from television and radio. I think he's, you know.
Wouldn't that be kind of taking away his freedom of speech?
But what he speaks about is not always negative. I've never heard the man speak positive about nothing.
Isn't that his right?
Oh, that's his right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he should have the right to always downgrade people and always talk about people. I mean, say something positive for a change.
Yeah, you know? I get the emotion of that.
he's just a big mouth idiot, I think, you know. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was the issue about the birth control issue with the insurance companies not wanting to cover that. I had to agree with the previous caller. It is much cheaper to pay for birth control than to pay for the birth of a child.
Right.
So insurance companies should look at it as a business point of view. You know, it'd be cheaper down the line for them to pay for birth control than to pay for the birth of a child.
But if people, I know, and the previous caller said, but if they do all the preventative care, like flu shots and birth control and that kind of a thing, then the smaller number of people that would actually end up getting sick or getting pregnant, right? It would actually cost more money. The upfront outlay of birth control would be more expensive for the insurance companies as a preventive measure than it would be to just cover the pregnancies as they roll along, they come along. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I guess there's two different ways to look at it. But thanks for your call, Roy.
Yeah, thank you.
Take
you
care.
Have a lovely day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
We have a couple of Facebook messages on Kasich. On the Governor Kasich not taking the federal disaster aid, Rich on Facebook says, I think it's a mistake. He's playing political games with people's lives, though now that I think of it, that seems to be the policy of the right as of late. And from Kelly on Facebook, well, I hope Kasich has it under control, but his continuing refusal to deal with the Obama administration is offensive. President Obama is still president of the United States of America, and John is not. And email from Paula, how do we draw the line in what should be covered by insurance? Everyone's moral standards are clearly different. I don't smoke and would prefer not to have my insurance premiums go toward individuals with chronic bronchitis that results from smoking. And if we really believe in personal responsibility and accountability for our own lifestyle choices and illness, the entire insurance model would be devoid. In an email from Carl, what about the proposed bill to have a psychological evaluation prior to obtaining a prescription for Viagra? Do you think the Republicans would pass that? I don't know, Carl. An email from Tony, Rush spreads hate to women and the president. He should be taken off the air. I find this new form of hate very distasteful. They pay for Viagra with no problem. I don't know if it's a new form of hate. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We're running out of time, though. Lenora in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for having the open forum, Anne. I just wanted to contrast. I'm in the medical field, and I personally have never heard of anyone who needed Viagra having that prescribed for them. And I would like to contrast that with a thoughtful young woman who may have two children who's struggling to pay her bills and needs birth control to the 65-year-old man who's in the bar trying to pick up the 25-year-old lady. I mean, I guess I'd leave it to the listeners to decide who's the slut, who's the prostitute.
Okay.
One of the emails just mentioned this. I would like to draw the listeners' attention to Saturday's dispatch. State Senator Nina Turner from Cleveland has put up a bill for Viagra, and it will try to put the Viagra users and that class of drugs in the same place that the people in Virginia and the women in Virginia and Texas are going through now, and to put them through some loops like psychological testing and so forth before they could get their drugs. There's an unfairness in this. I also think that Rush Limbaugh is very angry, and I've been in a room where I had to listen to him. I was doing things with people that were listening, and I know I personally would come out with anger, and I can understand why his listeners are so angry after they listen to his show. And I thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lenora. Thanks for the call.
Uh-huh.
Take
Bye.
Care. Marie in Worthington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. Hi, Marie.
Oh, hi. In Rush Limbaugh's apology, he expects his statement to be accepted as a mere poor choice of words. On the other hand, he never affords others that same kind of understanding. Instead, he uses others' poor choice of words as revelations of deep character flaws or dark, sinister motives or, whatever. And I guess his apology just really bothers me, in that regard.
Okay.
And then with Governor Kasich, didn't we spend, or he spent millions of dollars, or I'm not sure how much money, to upgrade his own home when he was elected governor for security?
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know how much it cost. But.
Yeah, he already had we already had provided him with a home. It was already, with the security and everything. And I think the reason he wanted to not move into the governor's mansion was because he didn't want to move his children out of their school district.
Right.
And, isn't he, Didn't he know that before he applied for the job? You know?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, most of us, most of, you know. So I'm wondering, like, what he has, you know, like, in these people who have lost, you know, so much of, you know, in the storm, mm-hmm. how can he deny that help?
Well, he said they haven't, but they're going to do the assessment themselves. They don't want the federal government in coming in to do the assessment. So maybe in the end they'll get the help they need from the federal government, but it won't happen as quickly, I guess. I'm not sure. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Marie. Take care. Melissa from Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Are you talking to me? Sorry.
I am, Melissa. Welcome.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to, real fast, I'll try to be as brief as I can. You know, I'm a young woman. I'm in my upper 20s. I've been married for 7 years. I'm in a monogamous relationship. My husband and I have never had sex with anybody else besides each other. So I would hardly think that anyone would call me a slut or a prostitute. And I felt that it was so rude and hateful to women and just so judgmental of Rush Limbaugh to think that the only women that are going to be on birth control are ones who just are going out and having sex with whoever. That's completely not the case. My husband and I can't afford to have a child right now. We're trying to be wise with our choices, and we're on birth control. And even as I speak right now, I'm actually driving on my way to the OBGYN because in order to have a birth control prescription in this country, you have to be able to go to the doctor. You have to go to the OBGYN. You have to have a checkup. You have to get a prescription. And then you have to be able to afford that health care in order just to get a birth control prescription. And I've lived in other countries where that is not the case. You just go to the pharmacy, you say you want birth control pills, it's $10 a pack. You can have as many as of them as you want. And I don't understand why in America birth control has this stigma of being only, like, women who want to have promiscuous sex are going to be on birth control, and why it's so difficult to obtain these prescriptions for women that really need it.
Lots of good questions, Melissa. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you for talking about this.
You bet. We're out of time. Appreciate all the calls. Sorry we couldn't get to everybody today, but thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.